The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, you were in the building for the melee.
Yes, man, that's crazy, man. I got a lot to say about this. Isaiah Stewart, LeBron James get tangled up on the free throw line. It was a crazy night in the D. Let's start the show.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
We'll be breaking down all the NFL games from yesterday, but we start the show in Detroit, where you were there, Mr. Rose, in the building for the Lakers-Pistons game, and we'll get to the game later, but this is the most important part of it. Jalen, what do you think about this back and forth?
So it was a really good performance by the Pistons up until this point. Jeremy Grant was playing terrific. Isaiah Stewart was giving great energy. And right there on the free throw line, what normally happens in the NBA is the shooting team's guy, in this case Isaiah Stewart, normally don't hustle to try to go after the rebound. Normally that guy just stand there and let the rebound happen. But his character is to go hard all of the time. LeBron being in his 19th year is like the old man at the park. And then somebody trying to pick you up 94 feet. You like, dog, get off me. And so because of that, that's how LeBron basically ends up hitting him with the arm or the forearm shiver or whatever. Was it done purposely? Absolutely. That's the only way you can avoid falling. If LeBron doesn't hit him, he falls, and you know you ain't, you know how I feel about falling, Jacoby. And this is gonna feel foreign or look foreign to a lot of people who watch today's NBA because it was actually physical contact. Players get hit, players get elbowed. I understand that. But here's where Isaiah Stewart really got upset. When you start to see and taste your own blood.
Yep.
That's when it starts to feel different. It's like, yo, not only did it hit me in the face, but I'm bleeding? Oh no, I gotta go eye for an eye. And that's how it is in the city of Detroit, Jacoby. That's like, they say it in the BMF series, like, we don't come open-handed asking for handouts. We come with the closed fist. And if you get disrespected, you'll get knocked out. And Isaiah Stewart was like, I'm coming for revenge. And so he'll get discipled. I believe LeBron will get disciplined, but I don't think LeBron should get suspended. And I think Isaiah, because like you always say, I don't necessarily judge people by what they intend to do, but off of what ends up happening, there is some restraint that goes on in that rage that you see him bursting through his teammates and security. I'm sitting right next to Hall of Famer Ben Wallace and Rip Hamilton, who obviously were there when the Malice in the Palace took place. And so it didn't feel like that. It just seemed like somebody who was upset that they didn't get a chance to throw an elbow back. And so I believe he'll probably get suspended a game or something like that. I think LeBron will probably get fined, and then we'll keep it moving.
Well, Jalen, you made some good points, but let me just break down step by step. I understand why Isaiah Stewart was hustling after that rebound. When you're playing the Lakers, when you're the underdog, you have to get those hustle plays at who he is. I understand why he did that. I understand why LeBron reacted. LeBron wasn't ready for it. I don't think LeBron meant to like punch him in the face the way that he did. But then I also understand, and this is the key part, when you see and taste your own blood, that's a different level of rage that you can't really control. You know, like when you start tasting your own blood in your mouth and it's covering your face, then that's when you see Isaiah Stewart react in this way. But one thing I disagree with you about is LeBron's gonna get suspended. LeBron is definitely going to get suspended. We haven't seen the ruling as we're taping this show right now, but I think if you punch someone in the face semi-intentionally, he didn't mean to make contact, and you bloody them to the point where they get enraged and come after you, that he was the one who first made like a non-basketball play, which is why I think he will be suspended and disciplined.
You know how much I'm ride or die Detroit Pistons all day. I was there standing and rooting and cheering for my team. And you know I respect the game and the greatness that is LeBron James. And I'm just trying to tell everybody, elbows happen in basketball. People get hit in the face. I don't feel like he should get suspended, Jacoby. And I don't feel like Isaiah Stewart should get suspended more than one game. If LeBron doesn't react the way he does, look at him, he on one leg. Trust me, he in his 19th year, he was not trying to fall on that floor. And Isaiah Stewart was not trying to let an opportunity to get an offensive rebound go awry, because that's how he eats. And so we can look at it in retrospect and not overrate the totality of actually what took place. They engaged. It wasn't like they faced it wasn't like they squared up and LeBron punched them that way. It was a basketball motion. The arms were flailing. Grappling happens in basketball. I think LeBron should probably get a fine. Isaiah Stewart should get one game, and we keep it moving.
Well, there was a basketball game, and at the end of the basketball game, it got really interesting. You mentioned it was a good performance from the Pistons. Even in a loss, it was a bit of a moral victory. They had the game close at the end of the game, but then Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis happened.
Yeah, that was a problem. Yeah, that. And then we had to get back to the game. And I'm like, all right, Russ, what you got? No LeBron, y'all about to take this L. What's up, AD? You know what I mean? Can you take over without LeBron? They shut me up, dog. Russ went right down the lane. And the thing is, I was standing there thinking, if I didn't say that, I don't believe he would have drove like that. Because I was literally right there in his left ear, and then he just took off. And then Anthony Davis late in the game was scoring, getting blocks. Blocked my guy, Kay. You seen Kay had a triple-double. You seen Jeremy Grant was out there balling, though. I think he had 36. We was doing work. It was a great game by the Pistons, but the Lakers' star power took over late.
Well, Jalen, I did not expect to start the show with the Lakers-Pistons game, but since you were there, that mainly happened, we did. But the biggest game on the NFL Week 11 calendar was the Cowboys traveling to Arrowhead to play the Chiefs. It was the best game on paper, not the best game on the field. However, it was a bit of a revelation for that unit, the Chiefs' defense and Chris Jones.
Chris Jones had three and a half sacks.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get this right. The Kansas City Chiefs defense held the Dallas Cowboys to a season low 9 points. Did you see them dancing and celebrating? I was too. That was the most fun I've seen a football team have. And I'm gonna tell you what that is. That's when you have unbelievable expectations, like going undefeated and winning not five, not six, not seven. You can lose some of the joy of the game. And I can tell they made a concerted effort to do so. Eric Bieniemy, the way they is calling plays, right? Andy Reid, the misdirections, the pitches to Kelsey, letting Tyreek Hill run some, doing the option play for Mahomes to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And so they were having fun with it. And when you saw Travis Kelce at the end of the previous game, when he talked about getting their game back, I saw it play out. And defensively, anytime you're gonna not have Mahomes throw for a TD, yet the Kansas City Chiefs still win, that is gonna be a problem for the rest of the AFC.
Well, we saw some teams in the AFC lose some curious games yesterday. And Jalen, If the Chiefs are winning with defense, that's really, really, really bad for the rest of the league because Mahomes wasn't great yesterday, but the defense was great. And Jalen, you know I'm part of the Bills Mafia, right? The Bills Mafia has hit some hard times. We've hit some hard times in Buffalo. You think bad weather in Buffalo, the Colts coming to town, the Bills Mafia is going to step up. But who stepped up for the Colts, Mr. Rose?
Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five. Oof. Touchdowns for Jonathan Taylor. 50 fantasy points. 50. And by the way, there are only a handful of people in the history of the NFL to have 200 scrimmage yards plus five TDs in the game. When y'all start talking about GOATs, remember, I believe three or four of them is running backs. The other one is a wide receiver. His name is Jerry Rice.
Well, this game was very concerning for the Bills. Like, you know, Allen threw a couple picks. They could not stop the run. It wasn't just a great game from Jonathan Taylor. It was the Bills' defense looking soft in the middle. Very much a concern, especially when they have two upcoming games with the Patriots on the schedule. But that wasn't even the most surprising loss of the weekend, the Bills losing to the Colts, who are a good team in the AFC. Arguably the worst team in the AFC. The Texans had lost eight straight games. They went on the road to Tennessee, a team that had won six straight games, and they didn't just beat the Titans. They went up and over the Titans with a double-digit win.
I just want to salute Tyrod Taylor because after basically getting his lung punctured or whatever injury occurred via the medical staff with the Chargers, for him to reinvent himself in this situation, stay a pro, stay ready, and then get the chance to go out there and compete on Sunday and get a couple of touchdowns. And you saw that big time dive he did, sacrificing his body. After what his body has gone through, if that was me, I would probably be in the fetal position. You know what I'm saying? But he's stretching out, trying to do what he got to do to get his team a victory. So I want to make sure I give him some love.
As much as Tyrod Taylor deserves the salute, Tannehill, four interceptions on the day. If you don't have Derrick Henry and you have your quarterback throwing four picks, it's not going to be good moving forward. Now, Jalen, you always have me put in bets in New Jersey legally for Jalen Hurts rushing touchdowns. I didn't have a chance to go to Jersey this weekend, but if I did, you would have been in the money.
And see, here's the thing. Shout out to the Eagles. I see y'all repping and like the Fab in the early 90s, letting it do what it do out there. And Jalen Hurts, three rushing touchdowns? Like, ain't no question to me that this guy's a franchise quarterback. I've been telling you that from the jump. You can win with his toughness. You can win with his ability. And let's not underrate who they beat. They smacked the Saints. They didn't just win a game on Sunday. You showed the bad losses, right? This is a terrific win by the Philadelphia Eagles.
And the Eagles might even threaten the Cowboys atop the NFC East if these trends continue.
Shout out to my guy, big play Darius Slay. Shout out to big play Slay. I see you with the pick six. He should be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. He balling this year.
Jalen, Russell Wilson is not balling this year. The Seahawks, after week 11, three wins. Does that mean that Russ will leave town at the end of the season? We'll discuss right after this.
Man, you wrong. That's just mean.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17 in the Seaport, New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, sure, the Nuggets were without Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, and the Joker, but the Suns got their 12th straight win. They are now second in the Western Conference, just behind the Warriors. What do you think about the Suns' 12th straight?
So, I just enjoy watching them play. Look at these plays, right? That's a pick and roll with DeAndre Ayton making a play in the middle, kicking it to the corner. Here you see another hot pick and roll action with Campaign. He pulls up for three. They look and run their offense so vastly different than the majority of the teams in the NBA. So many actions happen underneath the free throw line. And then the ball finds energy. And before you know it, Cam Johnson is making shots.
Yep.
Mikal Bridges is making shots. And they're able to lead the team in scoring. Chris Paul getting high assists. No turnovers. Devin Booker being steady and being efficient. This is a consistency that this team is going to continue to have for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. Everybody talks about how good the Warriors are. The Suns are just a game and a half behind them in the West. Jalen, down by a touchdown. Just over 2 minutes left. Aaron Rodgers gets the ball. What does he do? Just one pass. All it takes is one pass. Here we go. Ball to Scantling. Look at the accuracy on that. Boom. Left too much time on the clock, though. What happened next?
Well, normally you reserve that situation in reverse, right? You don't want to leave too much time for Aaron Rodgers, not necessarily Kirk Cousins. In particular, this year for the Minnesota Vikings, who has so many late heartbreaks this year.
Yep.
So many. And then all of a sudden, they get a break. The skies open up. They start to make plays on a big time drive. Look at Dalvin Cook running the football with ferocity. And they get a field goal late. It was barely in there. It still was a nail biter. I still was wondering, oh, is he going to miss the field goal? Big time win by Minnesota in the division.
Minnesota has lost so many games in heartbreaking fashion. It was good to see them get a win like this. But I walk away from this game, and I'm still confident in the Packers in the NFC. Like, this is a very close game, division rivals, but I still feel good about the Packers in the NFC. One team I do not feel good about in the NFC, Seattle Seahawks. The Cardinals came to town, no Kyler Murray, Colt McCoy under center. No problem. They ended up beating the Seahawks pretty easily with Colt McCoy moving the ball up and down the field on the Seahawks defense. What do you think of this one?
I hate this for Seahawks fans. I hate this for the 12s because the way Pete Carroll, rightfully so, responded to losing and how Russ lost to Colt McCoy under center, to me that doesn't look good for him in this in the future as their quarterback, especially if we're going by the rumblings that we've seen and heard the last couple of years, in particular, him giving them a list of teams that he would potentially go play for. And so this isn't good for the 12s in Seattle, not at all. But big time win for the Cardinals. And my guy, Zach Ertz, I did a fantasy trade for him this week, paid off big.
Well, Jalen, I will say this about the Seahawks is, you remember he gave him a list of teams he wanted to be traded, but then Aaron Rodgers took over all of that narrative and no one talks about Russell Wilson anymore. But that was after they lost to the Rams in the playoffs. Imagine how Russell Wilson's going to feel if at the end of the season, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're really not going to make the playoffs this year. They're probably going to end up with 6 or 7 wins. I do not see him playing quarterback for the Seahawks next year, but we'll keep an eye on that after the season is over. Shout out to the Cardinals who now have the best record in the NFL?
9-2.
We had a great game that kept me up way past my bedtime on Sunday night. Two AFC teams in Los Angeles. The Chargers hosted the Steelers. And Big Ben gets the Steelers the lead until Justin Herbert, Mike Williams connect at the very end to get the game-winning touchdown.
Let me take you down memory lane, fam. Like, when I see those jerseys, like, one of the things I used to love in the 80s about watching football was, like, Eric Coryell and the Chargers offense. And so watching Justin Herbert, like, he's playing the role of Dan Fouts. And they had Charlie Joyner, Wes Chandler on the outside, Chuck Muncy in the backfield, Kellen Winslow as a tight end. Like, that's how I see these weapons. Keenan Allen always be balling. For some reason, when people start talking about the best receivers in the game, it seems like I have to remind them that he always be balling. And Mike Williams, the same exact thing. Impressive offense, in particular, that young quarterback who looks like he's about to have an incredible future.
He does. I have no idea what teams are good in the AFC, but the Chargers certainly looked good last night. I have an idea
who's
bad.
Eckler. My guy out there looking like Brooks from the backfield with Chuck Muncy. I see you. Two TDs.
Well, there's definitely one team that I know is bad in the NFC, and that is your Detroit Lions. Still haven't won a football game, and it seems like they don't even come close. They had one good play from scrimmage. Tim Boyle is not the future in Detroit. Doubleheader this Wednesday on ESPN. It is the NBA, starting with the Nets against the Celtics at 7:30. And then in the nightcap, Joel Embiid and the 76ers take on Steph Curry and the Warriors. That one's at 10. It's all preceded by NBA Countdown at 7 p.m. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, the Lions are so bad. They are so – the idea that you still root for this team week after week is pathetic, and it bothers me that you're in this emotionally abusive relationship. They had one good run. And everything else was trash yesterday.
Hey, man, I can't believe that we still winless. You know, I really can't. And the guy we started yesterday, his collegiate stats are so underwhelming, it made me question whether he should be in the NFL at all. Now, DeAndre Swift is a beast for us. But, man, it was a comedy of errors watching this team play football. I want to roar. I want to roar really loud. Well, all I can do is say meow. That's just all I can do.
Tim Boyle, while at UConn, had one touchdown and 13 interceptions. Just think about that touchdown to interception ratio. They're putting out a terrible product on the field. But the Bears, on Thanksgiving, Andy Dalton, maybe. We'll see if they can get their first win of the season while we eat our turkey with our family. Jalen, we had Terrence Crawford on the show last week, and he was on a fight. He was in a fight on Saturday. What do you think about his big win over Sean Porter?
Hey, man, let me tell you something. You don't see Sean Porter get stopped or KO. That happened. The other thing, Bud Crawford, about to be a free agent. He's about to get a bag. Stay tuned. Undefeated, undisputed. We got to talk to him about that soon. That was a great show for boxing.
Big win for Terrence Crawford. We all want to see the next fight for him, and we know exactly who that should be against, Errol Spence, and we will see if that happens. But Jalen, one thing that was curious about this fight was the end. It was Sean Porter's father who threw in the towel, and it was critical of his son's performance in the post-game presser. What do you think of that?
Well, he's been his trainer his entire career, and it's his father, and he retired after the fight, so that was going to be his final fight. He's doing a terrific job in the media. Nobody knows their fighter better than father-son in this situation.
See you tomorrow. ESPN 2, 4 p.m. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Thanksgiving week, we have a show today and tomorrow, and then we're off until next Monday. Jalen.
What up, though?
A couple things I want to discuss with you, Mr. Rose. Number one, there's a couple games that we didn't get to. Ravens-Bears. Lamar Jackson reportedly was curled up into a ball on the plane heading into Chicago. He couldn't go. Tyler Huntley stepped in, and Tyler Huntley looked pretty good. He looked pretty good. 219 passing yards, one interception in his first career start. I think Lamar will be back, but what do you think about the Ravens beating the Bears?
John Harbaugh, really good coach. The Bears, Justin Fields got injured. Their season is spiraling towards not making the playoffs, obviously. And so it's going to be interesting to see what type of offseason they have, in particular with that Khalil Mack-led defense. But for the Ravens, I just as it seems like I've seen Lamar be sick a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to make sure that this situation, I hope this situation, they start to give him whatever he probably needs for his immune system.
Yeah. Obviously, he had some COVID issues, and he was sick this time. And there's that Monday night game where he had to run to the bathroom. Jalen, we also have this. Luke Walton is no longer the head coach of the Kings. Alvin Gentry steps in as the interim head coach. What do you think of that?
He got data. He got announced yesterday, but it happened the day Tristan Thompson had his press conference. You and I talked about that on our conference call, and he has to be one of the most disappointing hires as a head coach in recent NBA spaces, because the success he had with the Golden State Warriors as an assistant, we figured will propel him into being a terrific head coach. Mm-hmm. And then when Steve Kerr was out, he got a chance to coach that team, and they had an incredible record.
They went on a great run.
Right? Now, two jobs later, because he had the Laker job, right?
Yeah, he did.
And I remember the whole nostalgia about him winning championships there and, you know, the relationships, how they were going to be rekindled. That was quick. Right? Mm-hmm. Sacramento, new opportunity. And by the way, got the Sacramento opportunity when a lot of people felt like he ain't really deserve it based on what happened with the Lakers situation. But I've watched coaches change, so I am not one of those people to think a coach can't go somewhere else and reinvent themselves. Look at Tibbs, for example, how he did the exact same thing with New York. But the point is, he's gotten chances to do so, which leads to the frustration for me of why a guy like Mark Jackson still hasn't gotten another chance to be a head coach. Like, it's like, for the people involved, I just want y'all to Google exactly what happened with Mark Jackson when he was the head coach of the Golden State Warriors that ultimately led to him not being their coach anymore. And when you really digest what that was, and you look at him telling us that the Splash Brothers was the greatest shooting backcourt, not 10 days ago or 2 years ago, this man told us this 10 years ago. I used to go to those practices, dog. And let me tell you something. I remember when Draymond Green started playing for David Lee and people was mad at Mark Jackson. I'm old enough to remember that. Draymond Green was like a captain and a leader, and he wasn't even playing. That's how much faith Mark had in him. You see what I'm saying? Like, I watched that team grow through the draft. And so for him not to get an interview, like 6 or 7 jobs came open this past year. It's just really shameful. It really is.
Well, Draymond Green said that he has refound the love and joy for the game after 2 up and down seasons. And he said he's just trying to control what he can control, and that's a point of emphasis for him this year. And I think it's easy to say that when you're 15-2. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's a lot more fun winning games than losing games. There's a lot more joy in the game when you're winning.
But also, like, they look different without Wiseman. And so I like the young fella and think he has a chance to be a really good player. He got a really good touch. He's a good lob threat. He can even shoot threes. Like, Wiseman got game. But for Draymond Green to flourish the way he flourishes, I'm gonna tell you, it's just a different oil in the ointment when you got him out there. The floor just isn't as open, right? Some people prefer Chrysler, some people prefer Jeep. Like, it's just different. And so, what I'm looking to see is if they're going to really slow down and adjust what they're doing for him. I'm going to give you the perfect example of this that I've said over the last couple of years, and now the example has come to fruition. This is what Carlisle had to decide with the Mavs. Am I going to keep letting Luka do his thing on a nightly basis because I know what I'm going to get there? Or am I going to adjust to Kristaps Porzingis when he is there and post him up and kind of slow down what we're doing? That's what I'm interested to see. Because, and by the way, Bob Myers and my guy Kiwi, Sean Marks, Rob Pelinka, those 3 GMs the last few years have been running laps around the rest of the league. And so, the Wiseman becomes an interesting piece to me if they really want to try to go for the stranglehold on the rest of the league. And it's clearly going to depend on how good Klay looks. If Klay looks like a version of himself, and you hearing rumblings that maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm gonna say it.
Say it.
Let me look at some.
Uh-oh. See, this is when we get the good stuff on the podcast exclusive, because one thing I'm concerned about Clay while you look this up, I know he can shoot, but he is a lockdown defender. And will he still be able to be that after rehabbing from this injury?
So I got you. So I had to make sure, like, what degree of what I'm about to say. So, like, I talked about this on NBA Countdown Friday. Oh, and by the way, I do realize Jacob Blake is paralyzed, not dead. And sadly, there's so many of those cases in my mind. Ahmaud Arbery's currently having his, that they get me dizzy and they get me concussed. So sometimes, yes, I misspeak. And it happens to the best of us. With that being said, I mentioned also that there are rumblings that the Boston Celtics are trying to figure if they really want to keep J&J together long term. And I'm not talking about Jalen and Jacoby. I'm talking about Jalen and Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the Golden State Warriors, kid from Atlanta, all world talent. I love Jalen Brown. He's one of my favorite players. He a dog too. I want him on the Pistons so bad. He'd be an MVP in Detroit. I love him that much. He went to Cal. If I'm the Warriors and Klay come back and he is that lockdown defender that you just said, I'm on the phone with them. I'm like, let's talk about these young players and Wiggins and see if I can get Jalen Brown. That's what I do. Now, if you're able to add Jalen Brown and lose like Wiseman and Wiggins and maybe another young player, now all of a sudden, they really in business in the Western Conference. What you think about all that?
My concern about that trade is I would do it so quickly if I was Golden State. And if you're the Celtics, I'm just, wait a second, you know what I mean? It's like, it just feels like that is too good for Golden State. You might have to keep it like Jordan Poole is that young player. You know what I mean? Like, I need a real return for Jalen Brown. And if I'm the Celtics, I'm not the GM of the Celtics, but if I was, I'd be testing the market for Jason Tatum as well. If we're not going to keep Tatum and Brown together, personally, I just love what Brown brings on both ends. And I think without Jason Tatum taking up as many possessions as he does, Jalen Brown could be the high volume scorer that Tatum is while giving you good defense on like everybody except the center.
So in summary, here's what you do if you're the Boston Celtics. You'd be foolish to break them up. You'd be foolish to break them up. Both of those guys, let me give you an example. We're at the park and we're doing the draft. I'm just asking your opinion, and I want yours, Reg DeLedge, with the buzzer too. We're doing a pickup game. I just want to name some players, and you'll tell me if you'll take this player over Jalen Brown or Jason Tatum in the Eastern Conference. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
DeMar DeRozan.
Well, they're two different players, though. Am I comparing them to Jason Tatum or Jalen Brown?
You're about to have a team.
I'd probably rather have Tatum and Brown.
Zach LaVine.
Tatum and Brown.
Bradley Beal.
Tatum and Brown.
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
James Harden.
Which James Harden? Which one?
No, it don't work like that.
There's like four James Hardens out there. I'll take James Harden. Point. I would take over him. Like today's James Harden, no.
That's
but
my
like
point.
James Harden from like last year before he got hurt, I'll take that. From the Rockets, James Harden, I'll definitely take that.
Well, just so you know, the guy that played for the Rockets is now with the Nets.
Different guy, though. Different guy. That's not the same person. That's not the same person. Let's not, don't forget some of the things that we were saying about James Harden when he was putting up those huge triple doubles and scoring 50s, the most unique scorer, like the hardest to guard. Like we were saying so many crazy things about him. It's just a different guy right now. It's a different guy. Completely different guy.
Okay. Okay. So there's more. Julius Randle.
What are you talking about? No. You see Randle in the playoffs last year?
Trae Young.
I don't know. If we're starting, I'd probably have Tatum and Brown over Trae Young.
So, in summary, in this exercise, they got the two best wings in the Eastern Conference on the same team other than Jimmy Butler. You keep them together.
All right, let me play devil's advocate. Maybe your roster is better constructed if you don't have two of the three best wings in the Eastern Conference, that you trade that for a point guard or a big. So you have a more diversified, sort of like a better allocated starting five.
When you get a chance, watch the Golden State Warriors play.
I watch them all the time.
They got guys out there that can do three things: dribble, pass, and shoot. That's what the league is. And they got two of the best on their team. When I look down at the stat sheet, Tatum and Brown both gonna have 25 points every single game. Every single game. This reminds me, I remember, I'm gonna tell you what this reminds me of. I'm gonna bring this up. This reminds me of when people were asking me, should the Splash Brothers be broken up for Kevin Love? And I was like, let me tell y'all something. Y'all don't trade Klay and break him up with Steph. This is the exact same thing in a different way. Don't break them up. Give them a point guard.
Let me go devil's advocate again. You remember last season, right? It wasn't that Brown and Tatum weren't great players. It wasn't that they're not talented. There was like serious effort issues. Like there were serious like chemistry issues, like just straight up like effort and hustle and like the locker room didn't seem right. They're losing games, getting blown out by bad teams. Like, there could be a chemistry issue there.
Well, that's why they let their coach go. What you just described is why you changed the coach.
Okay.
Right, everything you just said sounds like coaching. Like, here's what'll help Tatum and Brown. I got the remedy. And Schroeder's been balling this year, and you know how much I like Marcus Smart.
Schroeder has been playing well.
Here's the remedy to actually let Jaylen Brown play the two, to actually let Tatum play the three, and have two human beings out there that are more physically imposing to them than them. So at the end of games, I'm not watching one of them guarding Julius Randle on the post.
The problem is they got Horford and Time Lord, and I don't want to see Horford guard Julius Randle either.
You see what I'm saying? Like, if all of them was one player, like Williams, Time Lord, so you got Time Lord's youth and athleticism, right? You got Al Horford's brain and rebounding this year. You got Williams' tenacity. Like, if they were all one player, that's how you help Tatum and Brown.
Well, you could say the same. You could say the exact same for Pritchard, Schroeder, and Smart. Like, if they were all one player, then that would work as well.
Correct.
Well, they're 9-8 right now, and so are the Bucks. So, like, here's what I wouldn't do. And I'm gonna be honest, I'm not playing devil's advocate anymore. I'm not talking about trading either of them. Like, we're 17 games into the season. Like, let's see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, let me see it play out. I think that you're too quick to react after 17 games if you're really on the phone talking about trading Jaylen Brown. There's a reason you signed them both to max, because you believe they're both max players. You can have two max players that have been that you drafted, you keep them. Simple. You know? And you build around them. Maybe you're not gonna win the championship this year, but then maybe you've got some cap space, you can make some moves and build around those two. So I agree with you. We shouldn't even be talking about trading those two, but I definitely wouldn't take Andrew Wiggins and James Wiseman. I'm definitely not for Jaylen Brown. You just put that together for the Warriors. You know what I mean? You sound like you're Bob Myers and Joe Lacob on the phone, not Brad Stevens. All right. Well, we got time for one voicemail. We got to give the people what they want. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path takes to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. We got time for one quick voicemail.
Jaylen, Jacoby, what up, though? Shout out Ledge the Ledge. This is D. Graham from North Carolina. I got a soft move, a boss move for you today. So my nephew, who is 22 years of age, was asked out by a young lady to go out to eat. And the young man, the nephew of mine, obliged and said he would. So they go out to eat, had a nice little dinner, you know, had a few drinks, and the bill comes. Now they both look at each other like, okay, my nephew looks at her, you gonna pay? She looks at him, are you gonna pay? Nobody picks up the bill, even looks at it. So they discuss it. Long story long, he tells her, well, you asked me out, so I figured you'd pay. But if you don't want to, then we can just go Dutch. So soft move or boss move? Him deciding to go Dutch. Appreciate y'all always keeping in touch with the pod. I love the pod. Oh, and before I forget, medicinal.
Oh, big shout to Big Graham. First of all, Big Graham, you're talking so slow. We didn't have to say medicinal, dog. You did not have to say medicinal. But you know what? I got a quick story to tell, but I'm gonna say this, my soft move. You gotta pay, dog. It's just like, listen, you don't gotta pay every time, but the very first date, you know, I know it's 2021 and gender roles have changed and la la la. I know that she asked him out, but it's an investment. Even if you don't got the money, go into debt, put on a credit card. On the very first date, if it hasn't been established who's paying in advance, then you gotta pay. You gotta pay. You gotta pay. You got soft move. You gotta pay.
You know what? I love you, dog. And you know, one of the things I love about you is that you're a thinker and you're a listener. You're a leader and you're a teammate. And when I hear you say words like investment, That just makes me proud. You know what I'm saying? That makes me proud. Because this is the softest thing I've ever heard. So let me get this right. You want to go out to dinner with a young lady, but you don't want to pay? I don't care if it's the first date or the final date. That's just whack.
If you're 22,
it has nothing to do with anything.
This is on you, Big Graham, too. You know what I mean? Like, if you're their uncle, you can cover it for the first date, too, Big Graham. And all I got a very quick personal story to tell. Me and my wife have been together for 20 years. And you know what? Now I have enough money to pay for dinner, but I didn't always. And 20 years ago, the two of us went out. And again, this is like before I had a credit card. Like, this is like ATMs weren't prevalent. Like, this is a long time ago. This is like 2002. We went to dinner at California Pizza Kitchen, right on the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica. And Bill came. Again, I don't have a debit card or a credit card. Bill came, and I got like $20 on like a $37 bill. And I said to her, I was like, we're running out of here. She was like, what? I'm like, we're running out of here. So I put my $20 in the inside of the bill, folded it. We walked out and then ran all the way down the promenade to my car. And my wife is not that athletic, but I learned that day she's fast. She's fast. She can really run. And then we were driving away. And there's a crossing guard. And he's letting people through. He looks us right in the eye and stops us. And we're so dumb and young that we thought that we were going to get arrested right there. We did not. Big shout out to us. Never run out in the bill. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Big Graham, call back. Let us know how it's going with your nephew. Call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us voicemails. We will be back tomorrow for a special Thanksgiving preview pod. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We are not done.